From KALW News in San Francisco, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
El Cerrito.
Union Square.
San Francisco.
South of Market.
From Albany.
Hayes Valley.
Rock Ridge in Oakland.
I'm from the Civic Center. I live across the street.
Coming up, we're dedicating our whole show to California's new policy of realignment. That is, sending low-level offenders into county systems rather than state prisons. We'll hear about why Bay Area counties feel they've been shortchanged on funding the measure.
But no county government official will tell you they're surprised that the state may have underestimated or underfunded something.
We'll examine why so many of California's jails are overcrowded to begin with, and we'll talk about the promise of this new reform.
And that's really what realignment does. It realigns everybody who doesn't deserve prison out of prison, simply put.
We're looking at realignment from all angles today on Cross Currents. Realignment is the state law that took effect last October. It reduces California's prison populations by shifting lower-level offenders to county jails.
We are beginning tonight with a push to set free thousands of California prisoners.
California is under a court order to move 33,000 inmates out of the state's prison system to reduce overcrowding.
Controversial state plan to release some of these so-called low-risk prisoners early to avoid the overcrowding and save some money goes into effect today.
Facing massive budget pressures, California today began implementing a new law to ease prison overcrowding that the state calls a landmark achievement, but one opponent's charge will mean more crime.
That shift is the result of a federal decision ordering the state to reduce its prison population as a way to improve inmate health care. Without prison realignment, California would have had to build up to 9 prisons. So last week, state officials announced that they would halt the planned prison construction, saving the state $1.5 billion. But county officials are concerned with this massive criminal justice transformation. The state has not guaranteed the money to pay for increasing populations in jails and under county supervision. Governor Jerry Brown has plans to place that guarantee in the state constitution as part of a tax hike initiative he's proposing for the November ballot. But until that happens, counties are having to figure out how to do more with less money. KALW's Nicole Jones reports on how one Bay Area county is handling the transition.
Not too long ago, many of the men in this room would have been serving time in prison.
Just real quickly, I don't want names. I just want to know, real quick, how many times each of you have been in prison?
Just one.
Just one? So it's your first time out?
Yeah.
One time?
Three
times.
About six.
Six?
Probably.
At least 12.
At least 12? Holy moly, okay. How old are you?
Now they're getting a taste of their newfound freedom. Thanks to realignment, they're here under a new program called Post-Release Community Supervision. They're having dinner with the probation officers that are responsible for them. Sharing a meal together is how they start their weekly class called Thinking for a Change.
Now, Mr. Williams and I will model the skill for you, okay?
Case manager Yuri Sakokwian is explaining how to do active listening and how to have successful interactions with probation officers. In other words, how to stay out of jail. He gives an example.
Thank you for coming in.
No problem.
All right, so I'm going to go over the conditions of your probation, okay? These are the things that I want you to follow so that you don't get in trouble in the future, okay? You need to obey all the laws. Drug tests. Attend counseling. Register as a drug offender. More importantly, do not travel outside of Contra Costa County without my permission. Do you understand that?
Dang, I hope you don't drug test me today because I just got high. He says I can't leave out of...
And it's not just chit-chat. And we're not trying to build relationships so we go have barbecue dinner and go to the Giants games together, although I'm not against either of those things.
Chief Adult Probation Officer Philip Cater says his first goal is public safety. Cater is in charge of making realignment work in Contra Costa County. Part of that is reducing recidivism. Before realignment, nearly two-thirds of state parolees were back in custody within 3 years. Now that these lower-level offenders are the county's domain, officers want to make sure that these guys don't end up back behind bars.
Okay, Mr. Sakokian, I think I can handle that.
All right, good. So I will see you next week on your next appointment.
That was great.
The idea of them believing that we want them to have success. And that is something that several of these guys that have been to prison 2, 3, 4 times have told us they're just not used to. They're just not accustomed to feeling as if, you know, the people that are dealing with them are really rooting for them.
And that's one of the really new things happening in Contra Costa County. Probation officers are now called case managers. They're building relationships and trying to anticipate problems before they escalate.
The thing that they have us on right now, I think it's way better than it was before.
Damian Livingston has been in prison 6 times for receiving stolen property in Grand Theft Auto. He's been out since December and decided to sign up for this 26-week class, which also cuts time off his supervision.
Now you have probation officers that you can talk to, right? And when they come to your house, they don't come to your house like you remember the Taliban or something. You know, 5 or 6, 7 police surround your house. Your neighbors look at you like you're really a criminal, even if you're trying to get it together.
Livingston's been on state parole before. He says it's like someone's just waiting for you to mess up to send you back to prison.
Couldn't do parole, right? But this probation stuff is working. I like it. I'm here because if it would have been parole, I wouldn't even been here. So I'm thankful for it. They're trying to do something different. They ain't just throwing you back in jail, and that's a plus.
Chief Cater says this kind of program gives hope to guys like Livingston. But without guaranteed funding, it may not continue. Since realignment began last October, counties are absorbing 2 to 3 times more offenders than the state projected.
But no county government official will tell you they're surprised that the state may have underestimated or underfunded something. The difficulty we're having in this county is not so much our will or even our infrastructure to support it, but it is a lack of funding, which we believe is based on a flawed formula.
The formula goes like this. The state bases each county's share of realignment money mainly on how many people it sent to prison prior to realignment.
Where the formula is flawed is we have been avoiding sending people to prison for many years. We're right in that middle of the state average arrest rate, yet we are the lowest per capita of people that are being sent to prison.
Meaning, if a county was sending offenders to programs instead of prison, now they have less money to spend on programs. For realignment, Contra Costa, with 1 million residents, was given $4.6 million, while Tulare County, with about half that population, got $5.7 million. Both counties have a similar crime rate.
It's just, intuitively, it doesn't make sense that the formula is set up that way, that doesn't give us the added benefit of tools to use that we think could expand the service delivery options to our clients.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. We're examining the major prison overhaul underway in California. Reporter Nicole Jones just took us to Contra Costa County, where officials are struggling to find funding for programs that keep people out of jail. In this next report, Nicole Jones takes us inside of jail to find out how realignment is working there.
This is unlike any other jail you're really going to ever run into.
Commander Matt Schuler and Captain Jeff Nelson are taking me on a tour of the West County Jail in Richmond. It's an open campus setting. Birds are chirping over a beautiful yard the inmates created in the landscaping class.
It's really kind of a peaceful facility.
It does have that sort of bucolic feel to it, doesn't it? But it lends to that because this was, I worked out here in 1993, this was dirt and weeds. And you know, having some trees and landscaping and things of that nature gave them the opportunity to learn that stuff, but it also gives a better vibe to the whole place.
Nelson says Contra Costa has always been a reform-oriented county. It was the first in the country to use direct supervision. It's a kind of jail model that lets inmates move freely amongst the deputy staff. They offer GED classes, anger management, and other services. Nelson says inmate morale is typically better in this kind of setup.
Probably not surprisingly, it goes without saying, if you lock somebody up in a room and they're in there for the majority of the day and they can't move around in a day room atmosphere like this, they get testy. So this provides us with, actually in the long run, a more secure environment because it's better for the deputies, it's better for the inmates. You know, without sounding too touchy-feely, they all get along a lot better.
And unlike other counties, many of which have overcrowded facilities, Contra Costa has kept its jail population pretty low, mostly by expanding the use of electronic monitoring. Schuler says the county also expanded the maximum security facility, Marsh Creek. What's been tough, Schuler says, is figuring out what to do with inmates who require special custody, like gang members.
It's going to be tough for folks that are staying, or the inmates that are going to be staying with us for long term. It's always going to be tough because these facilities weren't built for that.
And the state isn't paying enough for increased security. Before realignment, the state paid the county $77 for housing parole violators. Now the county is only getting reimbursed at about $25 a day.
Show you an average room. So this is a typical room for an inmate, male or female.
Regardless of its struggles with realignment, Contra Costa County has had some success. Since October, the county's recidivism rate is only about 15%, which is much lower than it was at the state level. And there may be some relief with regard to funding. County officials like those in Contra Costa will continue to lobby the state to consider what they say is a more fair funding formula. For Cross Currents, I'm Nicole Jones.
Nicole Jones is a reporter with the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. So how is your county handling realignment? You can share your thoughts on our Facebook page. We're KALW News. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. One of the biggest issues emerging as California enacts its new realignment policy is jail space. Since low-level felonies no longer carry prison terms, counties must decide for themselves how to punish crimes like petty theft and drug possession. For many counties, that's a challenge. 32 of California's 58 counties are currently under court-ordered population caps. To move more people in, they have to move others out. The easiest way to do that is by releasing offenders on bail. But that system doesn't always work like it should. Criminal justice reformers have been criticizing the bail system for years without much success. But with the recession leaving more and more people short on bail money and realignment sending more offenders to jail, the idea of bail reform is starting to gain some traction. KALW's criminal justice editor Rena Palta reports.
At the moment, Austin Hills is wearing an orange t-shirt, orange pants, and wrist shackles. He's sitting in an interview room in the San Francisco County Jail in San Bruno.
I've been in custody since December 31st.
Hills was born and raised in San Francisco. He went to good schools, graduated from college. Now he owns a business running out luxury cars. After an incident late last year, Hills was arrested and charged with arson and making a criminal threat. He's been in jail ever since.
The bail is set pretty quickly, so they usually, like as soon as you're in custody, they set it pretty quickly.
Because he was charged with multiple felonies, Hills' bail was set high.
They set my bail for $500,000.
Hills has made money, but he doesn't have $500,000. Most people don't. He could have gone to a bail bond agent, but...
Even with a bail bond, I'd still need to come up with roughly $50,000 cash.
Most bail bond companies charge an 8 to 10% premium. For Hills, that's $50,000 he'd never see again, even if he goes to trial and is found not guilty.
That would be gone. That's gone up in thin air, right? Exactly.
Legally, bail has only one purpose, to guarantee that people show up for their court dates. Bail amounts are set by panels of judges in each county, and they vary widely. A person arrested for possession of a controlled substance in San Francisco will automatically be assigned $15,000 bail. In Fresno County, it's $5,000. In Tulare, it's $25,000. Bail can be higher for more serious crimes, but it isn't always. And regardless of their crime, anyone who can make bail can spend the money and go free until his or her trial. In any case, it's expensive.
71% of California's jail population is made up of pretrial detainees who haven't been sentenced and are there because they're awaiting trial. Many of them are there because they can't afford to post bail.
Amanda Gullings is a graduate student at San Jose State University. She's currently writing a report about bail with the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. And this is the population that she and other criminal justice reformers are now focusing on. The people who are in jail, but who haven't been convicted of a crime and cost taxpayers about $100 a day to keep locked up.
There is a large portion that could be released. What that number is, I don't know.
It's hard to know exactly how much of that population is actually eligible for bail. KALW asked three Bay Area counties how many people could be released if bail money wasn't an issue. None of the counties track that information. However, the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office did a one-time survey of their jail and found that about 24% of the inmates could theoretically get out on bail if they could afford to do so. The San Francisco Sheriff's Department did a case-by-case search for us and determined that about 500 of their 1,550 or so jail inmates that week could theoretically be out on bail. That's nearly a third. Not insignificant when more and more jail space is needed for what used to be prison inmates.
In order for, you know, to accommodate those newly sentenced defendants, we're going to have to make room for them. And that's going to be done one of two ways. That's going to be by expanding the county jails or releasing, you know, that large pretrial detainee population through either bonding them out or pretrial services.
Santa Rosa bail bond agent Dale Miller has a fairly simple solution that he thinks would help a lot.
The bails need to be lowered significantly.
Miller's been an agent for 23 years. He's on the board of two of the state's largest bail bond associations, and in theory, he benefits financially from higher bails. But he doesn't see it that way.
I consider myself a professional gambler.
Gambler because every time he writes a bond, Miller's at risk of losing a lot of money. And he says more and more, he's seeing really high bails.
It's frustrating in this county. About 3 years ago, the average bond size was about $8,000 to $11,000. And now the average bond size is over $20,000. And the only reason I can give is judges don't want to appear soft on crime and DAs don't want to appear soft on crime. And one of the easiest things to do is raise somebody's bail.
Financially, higher bails are risky for Miller. He has a limited amount of cash, so he can either take a small number of big bonds or a large number of small bonds.
Because as a financial decision, bail is basically it's insurance. It's regulated by the insurance department. And insurance works this way. You spread risk among many policyholders. So if you translate that to bail and you're only doing a few $250,000 bonds, any one of those would wipe you out.
Jeff Adachi, San Francisco's public defender, says bail reform should be at the top of the state's agenda.
Who really needs to be in jail? That needs to be the question, not simply what the bail schedule says.
Adachi would like to see lower bails and alternatives to the monetary bail system, like releasing people on electronic monitoring.
The people who are on bail have more money than people who aren't on bail. That's the only difference. It's nothing to do with risk. I mean, by definition, a money-based bail system discriminates against poor people. It's also a risk to public safety because it fails to manage risk. Someone might be a greater threat to the public, but if he has money, he'll go free.
Adachi says that the reason we don't have bail reform, whether it's lowering bails or finding alternatives to the monetary system, is because no one's really looking at bail as a serious criminal justice issue. According to a recent report on realignment by the ACLU of Northern California, 22 of the biggest 25 counties in California are expanding their county jails. Only 9 are actively exploring other options for those awaiting trial. That's likely to change as California enters its second year of realignment in the fall, and counties are left with the option of overcrowding or letting people out. For Cross Currents, I'm Rena Palta.
What are your thoughts on our bail system? You can give us a call at 415-264-7106. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. And now we'd like to zoom out and take a broader look at realignment. What might be the implications for the future? Berkeley Law School senior fellow David Onick recently sat down with Stanford Law professor Joan Petersilia to talk about California's criminal justice realignment. Onick is a former San Francisco police commissioner. Petersilia is the former president of the American Society of Criminology and served as a special advisor to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here's what they had to say.
A lot of the focus on realignment has been on reducing the state prison population, but realignment is also going to lead to enormous changes in county jails. As one example, jails previously held sentence offenders for a maximum of 1 year and then just thus did not need to focus on long-term rehabilitation programming. Now they may hold inmates for much longer periods of time and will need to develop this type of programming with relatively limited resources. Can you talk about this challenge and other challenges that sheriffs face in running their jails under realignment?
Well, it is going to be a huge impact on county jails. Currently in California, 23 jail systems are already under court order to not expand their prison population. But now they're going to be getting, you know, tens of thousands of new prisoners. Let's say in Los Angeles County is one of the counties that is, in fact, facing a court order already not to expand prison capacity. And now they've got a huge population that can't go back to prison. So how do you punish that population? If you want them to get taken off the street for incarceration, incapacitation, your only option is the jail. And so we, in fact, today, the Santa Barbara County reported that they sentenced a local man convicted of drug possession to 23 years in the county jail. Sacramento County has come out with extremely long sentences as well. So in that instance, how do you handle a person that is facing a 10 to 20 year sentence in a local jail, which was really designed for persons serving less than a year? And so the jail is going to face not only overcrowding as you sentence more felons into jail than people who were pretrial and lower risk are kind of going to come out the other end, but also the kind of structure you're going to need and the kinds of programs and the kind of security that you're going to need when higher risk populations are serving longer terms in local custody.
So how do you think counties should handle these dilemmas that you're enumerating?
Well, the good side of realignment is that it's going to face every county going to be faced with the decision, how much do they want to punish offenders who represent different risks? I think a rough guess is that we have over-incarcerated probably 15% to 20% in California, both at the jail and at the prison. And so I think that realignment will force us to stop being so harsh on very low-level, first-level offenders who are annoying. They continue to come back in the system, but they don't represent high risk. That's the positive side of realignment. It's going to force counties to pay for the punishment options they really want, and that's going to force us to rethink harsh punishment for lower-level of felons. It's going to force counties to beef up, if they can, if they choose this direction, to beef up their treatment opportunities and their treatment services. I know many counties, particularly in Northern California, are using their funds to expand the contracts of treatment programs that they have a lot of faith in. So day reporting centers are expanding across California. Specialty treatment court, drug courts, mental health courts, veterans courts, a lot of those counties are using their realignment funds to expand those options. Housing, I think we're going to see a little bit of housing expanded, though I think that's the most difficult thing to expand. It's the most expensive, but it's also kind of the most important when we think about success for reentry. So I think we're going to see counties going in very different directions. I think the sheriffs have become a huge player. The sheriffs now, because of these court orders, actually have the legal authority to release people. So, for example, that case I just spoke of where you've sentenced the person in Santa Barbara to 23 years, that may or may not stick, because when that offender shows up at the county jail in Santa Barbara, the Santa Barbara sheriff has to make the decision about whether or not he can stay, given his overcrowding situation. And so the sheriff has been a big winner in realignment. They will decide whether or not the sentences really can be, in fact, imposed given the local capacity. And there will be pressure from the sheriffs to expand that capacity.
that is the situation in the local jails. Let's turn back to the state prisons for a minute, where we're going to have a situation that the non-non-nons leave prison. A smaller group of more serious, hardcore offenders will remain. What is that going to mean for our state prison system?
Well, you know, in fact, that is the real promise to me of realignment. We should be reserving jail for the most serious. And that's really what realignment does. It realigns everybody who doesn't deserve prison out of prison, simply put. So what will be remaining is exactly what most people want our prisons to be used for. They are expensive. We know that they probably are not going to be getting many services. So we want to reserve that for the most dangerous. And that is, in fact, what is going to happen. We are going to have a population in about 5 years of about 135,000, if projections are correct. So we will reduce our prison population from today's population of about 160. We'll bring it down by about 30,000. But those that will be remaining will be much more hardcore. We will have more lengthy sentences, so they'll be growing old in prison, which has implications for the cost. Currently costs us about $53,000 a year per prisoner. That cost will go up, so we're going to get a sicker, more elderly population on the one end, but we'll probably also be getting, in other ways, a more dangerous population, gang involved, much more serious violence potential. And so we will see a hardening of the prison population and a lengthening of the time that they serve there.
And basically, we will be imprisoning at the state level the people who need to be imprisoned at the state level and not imprisoning folks who would be better served at the local level in their communities.
Yes. And that was, in fact, the promise around realignment. And that's what sold it to the legislature, is that we have over-incarcerated. It's breaking the state budget. And so let's get back to the original purposes of prison, which was to house the most dangerous people convicted in the state. And if realignment works, 5 years out, that's what we should have.
That's Berkeley Law School Senior Fellow David Onick speaking with Stanford Law Professor Joan Petersilia. You can find a full transcript of their conversation and links to all of our criminal justice reporting at our website. It's kalw.org. That's also where you can subscribe to our podcast. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. The team includes Hana Baba, Wendy Baker, Julie Kane, Artiems Kunahoffs, Jen Chien, Audrey Dilling, Irene Flores, Angela Johnston, Casey Miner, Lisa Ratner, Erica Moo, Stephen Short, and Judy Silber. Today's show was produced by Rena Palta and engineered by Seth Samuel and Chris Hoff. Martina Castro is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Also, thanks to you. We are listener-supported radio. And today we bid farewell to our editor, Rena Palta, who is heading down to Los Angeles to work with our sister station, KPCC, where she'll continue to report on criminal justice. We'll leave you with her thoughts on the grammar police.
Grammar's not my expertise. Because I have a life, that's why.
We will miss you enormously, Rena. But we know you'll make the commute up for our Mashers games. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan. Orina,